Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to yet another edition of TGP Radio. As always, I'm your host, Vin, and let's get this week five show underway. Week five, over a quarter of the way through the season, and honestly, it doesn't really feel like it. It feels like the season is moving along at a nice pace. It's not flying by. It's not dragging along. Doing pretty well, which, you know, I can say that seeing as it's only week five. Probably won't be saying that when it's week 16 and season's pretty much over. And before you're a Jags fan and the season's already over, jokes. Go ahead and thwart those jokes right away. All right, we'll do that. All right. Sitting here watching my Florida State Seminoles probably lose because that's just probably what's going to happen. All right, so NFL action this week. Only the best and or most interesting games because ain't nobody got time to cover every single game of the week. So, with that said, first game of note, the Washington Redskins take on the undefeated Atlanta Falcons. Not particularly a interesting game, but perhaps one that could be. I got a feeling that Washington can win. Why do I have this feeling? I have no idea. You know, going into the season, everybody thought Washington would be terrible. And it turns out that maybe Washington isn't as terrible as we thought. Figure you beat the Rams on opening week. That's something. Beat the Eagles last week, which that's not necessarily anything because the Eagles aren't very good. But, you know, two wins is, I think, more than what I had them at this far into the season. So there's that. Redskins are going to be without Jordan Reed and Chris Culver. Two losses that, you know, aren't good. But, again, I just got this weird feeling. And I have no idea why. You got to figure at some point Devontae Freeman is going to stop scoring three touchdowns a week, probably this week. I think the Falcons get Tevin Coleman back this week as well. But, I don't know. There's something about the Falcons that does not seem legit to me. Maybe it's Devontae Freeman's random, you know, rushing performances. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's Julio Jones generally putting up crazy numbers each week, except for last week. I don't know. It's just weird. And yeah, because of that, I'm taking the Redskins. Got a feeling. And I like to say that typically my feelings mean they're going to happen. It doesn't. It just means I have a feeling and that it could happen, just like anything else. All right, third down. Here we go. All right, next game. It's funny. The schedule makers have got to be a little bit unhappy at the way injuries have played out and has ruined a couple of these games, most notably New England and Dallas. You go from getting a you know, what would actually be a pretty nice Tony Romo versus Tom Brady matchup, throwing Dez Bryant in there too. You go from that matchup to Tom Brady against Brandon Whedon. Oh, yeah, fourth down failure. And you go from that, and it just completely kills any of the excitement for the game. It just does. It goes from being – and really, the only excitement or entertainment value that's there is just for the off chance that New England gets beat. And that's really it. And now that I think that's pretty much been ruined. I wasn't going to talk about this game too early, but I guess I will. The Cowboys do get Greg Hardy back and Rolando McClain, which should shore up that defense a little bit, even though they are going to be super rusty. Sean Lee's status, I'm not certain on that. So, yeah, it's just... just a bummer of a game. And everybody, well, not everybody, half the nation gets stuck with it. Which, get out of the way. Florida State wins. Oh, yeah. Okay. Cleveland, Baltimore. Maybe we'll have time to do all these. Cleveland, Baltimore. Baltimore's not good. Neither is Cleveland. This is almost another one of those ceiling games. Cleveland should have won last week against San Diego, didn't, which is a very Cleveland Brown fashion winning game or losing games that you should win. Baltimore, of course, last week squeezed by on Thursday Night Football against the Steelers. And actually, was that last week? Yeah, that was last week, right? Right, of course. So, yeah. AFC North battle. I think Cleveland actually wins again. Baltimore isn't any good. I don't think they get anywhere from barely squeaking by a Mike Vick-led team. I think the Browns, a little bit going for them with the emergence of Duke Johnson, who had himself a very nice game last week against San Diego. I think at some point things have to start going right for Cleveland. I think this season, despite for Baltimore, despite getting a win last week against the Steelers, it's pretty much over. You have nothing at wide receiver, essentially, for Joe Flacco to throw to. Yeah, you bring in Chris Givens from the Rams, which is a deep threat, but again, it's Chris Givens, and that's not really – I mean, it's a body out there, but that's essentially all it is. It is a body until further notice. Crockett Gilmore's still out. Max Williams is starting, and it's just an ugly situation. The only good thing is hopefully Justin Forsett is now back to the Justin Forsett that we saw last year and not the fairly awful Justin Forsett that has been this season. So there's that. The only bright side for the Ravens. I'm actually going to take, again, Browns in this because why not? Browns have to win at some point. All right. Let's see here. Seattle at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's at home. It's a 1 o'clock game and no Marshawn Lynch, which means the Seahawks are going to be rolling Thomas Rawls out there at running back. And as good as that Seahawk defense is, they're probably going to lose to the Bengals. You have to assume that that's what's going to happen. They should have lost to the Lions last week, a much inferior team to the Bengals, and had proper batted ball call been made on Monday Night Football, perhaps the Seahawks season would essentially be over. But it's not. Seahawks are still clean of life. And live the fight another week. This week, again, you've got to figure Cincinnati, 1 o'clock, home, no Marshawn Lynch. got to be a fairly, you know, I don't want to say a fairly easy win for Cincinnati, but it should be a Cincinnati should have this one. Should. Doesn't necessarily mean they will. You never know exactly what Russell Wilson you're going to get. If it's the Russell Wilson of old that we're used to, or if it's kind of the recent Russell Wilson who hasn't been all that great. So there's that. And plus, with Marshawn Lynch being out, who is essentially the cog on that team, then yeah, it's probably another loss for the Seahawks. I can hope. Yeah, I liked the Seahawks before they got good, and now that they are good, they're incredibly annoying, mainly because of Russell Wilson. So anytime they lose, that is a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. All right. Next game. St. Louis Rams take on the Green Bay Packers. Oh, the Rams are a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get week in and week out. You can lose to the Redskins, but you can also beat the Seahawks and the Cardinals. Not entirely certain how you do that, but the St. Louis Rams certainly have. You get Todd Gurley back, not back because he was never there, but you get Todd Gurley now running the ball. Had a heck of a debut last week. And, yeah, one of the nice things that's going for the Rams. Still, though, you've got to figure it's Green Bay. Defensive issues somewhat aside, Aaron Rodgers is absolutely ridiculous at home. I think he hasn't thrown a pick at home since 12 or something. I think he's 52 touchdowns, zero interceptions in that time. I think I added too many years to that, but it's absolutely ridiculous. His numbers at home. And you've got to figure, again, Green Bay's at home. St. Louis, if St. Louis can consistently do things and not lay eggs against teams that they should handily beat, then it'd be one thing. But given the fact that they do, not that this necessarily plays into that because the Packers are actually a good team and you can't play down to a team that's actually good. I don't think, as weird as it sounds, I don't think St. Louis has enough on offense to get it done. Curious to see if Gurley can repeat his performance from last week. Not sure that's going to happen, but, you know, if it's going to come against the team, then it's possible to happen against the Packers because their run defense isn't the stoutest in the league. All right, so there's that. Give me the Packers in that one. With that, let's jump down to, my game and the Jags versus the Bucks. Yeah. So Jags had multiple opportunities last week to win and couldn't. Jason Myers couldn't get it done. Missed the kick. Colts called timeout in the attempt to ice him. Got to re-kick the kick. Missed again. Went to overtime. Missed another kick. Colts win. That's essentially the game. This week, facing the Bucks, Jameis Winston coming off a four-pick, one-fumble performance last week against the Carolina Panthers. Honestly, I would love if that Jameis Winston shows up this week. Unfortunately, he probably got it out of the system last week. Jameis's NFL career thus far has certainly been consistently inconsistent. 1 week, he'll look terrible, like last week, and the next week he'll look good, as he did for most of the Saints game. Honestly, we should win this tomorrow. Should. We also should have beaten the Colts. and we know how that didn't happen. Funny note, Bucks have lost 11 straight home games. Jags have lost 11 straight road games. That theoretically means that this thing ends in a tie. Because nobody wants to win. Does that happen? No. Somebody's going to win. The Bureau won't win because this will likely be a bunch of terrible football. But you've got to figure the Jags should win. If the Jags don't, I think that opens up a bunch of questions that I don't really think this coaching staff wants to answer. Right now we're sitting at 1-3, which is one more win than I expected us to have at this point through the season. Very easily be sitting at 2-2, maybe 3-1 if some things go our way in the Panthers game. But we're not. We're sitting here at 1-3. You lose to the Bucks, which aren't a good team. Doug Martin has been solid. Jameis can be solid, but you never know what you're going to get. Bucks have pieces, but that's essentially it, pieces. We need to win this. It's too early to be calling for Gus Bradley's head at this point, but, you know, that certainly doesn't help things in Jacksonville if you drop this game to the Bucs. We're in a very favorable section of our schedule. We get the Bucs this week and then Houston the week after. That's fine. And the Bills the week after that in London. But, you know, as with London games, who knows what's going to happen with that. But, you know, we've got two very winnable games coming up, which could put us at 3-3. Before the Bills game and the bye right after. Now would be a very good time to turn this thing around. I think we can. Now, granted, doesn't mean we will, but we absolutely can, and we definitely have a shot. So for once this season, I'm actually going to take the Jags. I think that's the first time I've done it. Chances that we've had against every single team except for the Patriots, didn't have chances against them. But every other team we've faced, Panthers, Dolphins, who we actually beat, Colts, there's a chance. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there's a chance. And I hope it does happen. All right, so there's that game. Let's see here. Already did New England-Dallas, which, you know, 5 weeks ago was a pretty awesome game. This week is not. Nobody wants to see Tom Brady, then Brandon Whedon. Nobody. Maybe Dallas shocks the world, takes him out, but they're not. Not going to. Let's see here. Arizona, Detroit. You know, Arizona should destroy Detroit for the most part. Carson Palmer's on fire. Chris Johnson is actually looking like a good running back, which who knew that could actually happen. They do get Andre Ellington back, which kind of shelves David Johnson a little bit. Defensively, they're good. Detroit, you know, again, should have won last week, didn't. I'm not exactly sure what's wrong with that team. Flying to Megatron isn't working. Golden Tate isn't what he was last season. It doesn't seem like there's not much of a run game. Amir Abdullah had a good first couple weeks, and then it's kind of tailed off after that. Jordan Bell is still out. I like Detroit. I'd like to see them win, but I just don't think that happens here. Coming up against a Cards team who just got beat against the Rams, or by the Rams. I don't see it. Wish I did. Wish it would happen. It'd be nice. Because, again, I like Detroit, and then losing sucks, But give me the Cards in that. I guess we'll go back in time. Kind of jumping all over the place. I guess I'll get all these games in after all. Let's see here. Bills at Titans. Titans coming off of a bye. Bills coming off getting beat against the Giants. I've got a feeling that the wheels have somewhat fallen off for the Bills. You lose last week to the Giants. Carlos Williams gets concussion. and is out. LeSean McCoy is still dealing with his hamstring. He's out. So you're looking, I think, at Anthony Dixon being the primary ball carrier. And, oh, yeah, Sammy Watkins is also still out at wide receiver. So you've got issues at running back. You've got issues at wide receiver. Tennessee's coming off a bye, should be primed and ready to go. I don't think Tennessee really is any good. Mariota has certainly shown some nice things, but that doesn't really mean anything because it's still Tennessee. Do I have a bias against them because I am a Jags fan? Yes. However, I'm actually going to pick them this week to win just because I think Buffalo had a nice run. 4 weeks in the season, and I think that's pretty much it. My two flashes here and there. Things will probably get better once Carlos Williams and LeSean McCoy get healthy, but I don't think the Bills really are threats to anyone. Granted, we'll probably get crushed by them in London because that's how things go in a few weeks. But as of right now, wheels have fallen off, and that's pretty much it. Give me the Titans. Saints at Philly. New Orleans beat Dallas last week when they shouldn't have. For all the talk of penalties that are being called and the amount of penalties being called, it certainly seems like the refs will swallow the whistle or at least hold the flag late in games or in certain situations. Last week, you see a pick play run against Dallas when a linebacker literally gets knocked off his feet by a wide receiver on the Saints, and no flag is called. And then very next play later, C.J. Spiller gets a huge touchdown. So, you know, there's things like that that happen, which is weird. For this game, though, again, I take great joy in Philadelphia losing. Great joy. And it was nice to see it happen last week because it hurts much more to have it happening as a division rival like the Washington Redskins. But yeah, this week, you know, I've probably got to go to the Saints here. Even though I don't think Drew Brees, while he's back, is 100%. The Philadelphia Eagles are still a massive work in progress. Sam Bradford's still shaky. The running game is still shaky outside of DeMarco Murray. Outside of Ryan Matthews, I should say, who's somehow been the more stable and sturdy running back for the Eagles at this point. Who would have thought that? So as much as I don't want to, due to my disdain for the New Orleans Saints, I have to take the Saints in this. Have to. Don't want to. Would rather both teams somehow manage to lose. But as we all know, this is the NFL, and both teams can't lose. A tie. That's not really a loss. That is a tie. It's your obvious fact of the day. All right, Chicago at Kansas City. Real nice that Chicago gets their first win last week against the Raiders. Nice of Chicago to win. It's weird. I have an affinity for just about every single one of the NFC North teams, minus the Minnesota Vikings. I don't know why that is. It's pretty weird. But, yeah, anytime the Packers, Bears, and Lions are all doing good, you know, I'm a fan of that. This week, however, I think you got to figure the Bears' win streak comes to an end at one. Kansas City, better all-around team, even given your opinion on Andy Reid and Alex Smith. They put up a decent fight last week against Cincinnati. A bunch of field goals, but, you know, there was fight there, which Cincinnati is a good team. So, you know, it's kind of understandable. For this, though, you got to figure Jamal Charles keeps his play going. Jeremy Maclin has actually turned into a valuable target for Alex Smith, which is weird because wide receivers being valuable targets in Kansas City is, well, it's weird. And Maclin has put up, I think, 19 catches combined the past two games, which is, you know, again, for a Chiefs wide receiver, that is crazy stats. And, yeah, if he can keep it going, certainly gives Kansas City another option on offense. Go with Travis Kelce and Jamal Charles. So, yeah, plus that defense for Kansas City isn't terrible either. Give me the Chiefs. Again, it's one of those games that if both teams could win, that'd be nice. But they can't. So I will take the Chiefs. All right. And that ends everything except for the late games. Denver and Oakland. Yeah. I think everybody should know by now that I am a Peyton Manning fanboy. Kind of a little bit of a bummer that this is probably going to be his last season. You've got to figure that it has to be with the way his play is deteriorating. I didn't see last week's game, so I'm just kind of going off of, going off kind of what people say. Yeah, not good against Minnesota last week. But again, it's Peyton Manning. He tends to, he tends to find ways to get it done. Kind of it's been the defense that has been finding ways to get it done, but getting a timely turnover timely turnovers to clinch the game or at least get it back in Peyton's hands to where he can do work. This week, you're in Oakland going up against Oakland. Latavius Murray is a little banged up. I don't like the Raiders' offense going up against the Broncos' defense. I just don't. Again, Latavius Murray's banged up. You've got the Derek Carr to Amari Cooper connection, which is solid. I don't trust that offense enough to do it. You'll probably have, again, Peyton Manning mistakes because it seems like there's been one or two of those every week. And you'll probably get another of those, but even with that, I don't think offensively Oakland has enough to capitalize on those mistakes. I just don't. Who knows? Maybe Peyton has a return to a good form, his old form, and maybe he lights up the Raiders for 5 touchdowns. And no picks, that's probably not going to happen. But either way,